So my point is you dedicate your merits to them. People asked me on the Facebook a few days ago, Rinpoche, there's this group, there's that group who don't follow the Dalai Lama, who don't follow this guru, who don't follow that. What should I do about them? Should I still be friends with them? And I didn't answer. What is there to answer? You see, if people are sinning and are doing the wrong thing, we don't reject them. We must show them love and compassion, teach them more knowledge. Because the way to turn them around is not by saying, I don't love you anymore. The way to turn them around is by giving them knowledge. So therefore, for your enemies who do harm to others, and you know they do harm and they're harmful, you should dedicate merits. Why? If they have the merits, one day they can transform. Don't you want everybody not to suffer? Maybe not right now. Maybe you want some people to suffer because they get on your nerves. But look, the best Buddhist is the Buddhist who lets go. Don't seek revenge. Don't seek harm. Don't seek to get anyone back. Because ultimately, it's karma. Ultimately. So when we take refuge, what I want you to go home in a short while, we'll be done. When you take refuge, what I want you to remember very strongly, please, if you're 100 years old, if you're 50 years old, or you're young like me, 46, or is it 45? I forgot my age. Anyways, I want you to go home saying, I will fight the enemy within. From today on, after refuge, please, with respect, control your speech. Before you say or do anything, make sure what you say is what you're going to do. I know it's going to be hard sometimes. What you say is what you're going to do. Not you just said it to look good for the moment. And what you say is the truth. And what you say is correct to the best of your knowledge at that time. And to whatever you're going to say to others, your wife, your husband, your friends, please make sure it is not tinged with any type of harmful intent. From our speech, we can become a Buddha. From our speech, we can create wars. So whatever you're going to say from your mouth after today's refuge, make sure you check your motivation. Will it harm? Will it damage? Will it hurt anyone? If it will, no matter how difficult it is, you know why? Because you may get the satisfaction at the moment, but the karma will come back and you will get very rough words in the future. You know, sometimes some of us, we have to experience a lot of rough words. We live with people who are very rough, say nasty things to us. What do you think that comes from? It comes from your own mouth in the previous time. You did that to others. Causes resemble results. So why be upset when people say ugly things? You just say, okay, now I know how it feels. I'm not going to do it anymore. Yeah. So if you're living with people who are always saying nasty and horrible things to you, you may be holy schmoly in this life, but in your previous life, maybe you were a monster. Maybe you were Godzilla. So the karma comes back. Nothing arises from nothing. Everything arises from something. So there's got to be a cause. So that's how you bear patience. If you got mood swings, it's probably in the past you didn't tell things that were true. So you made people feel up and then down, up and down with your speech. So you get incredible mood swings because of your own speech. Speech is very powerful. So therefore, when you leave home today, my friends, my students, my compatriots, everything that comes from your mouth, and don't do it for 1 week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, please do it continuously, because with your speech, you will create harmony. You will transform people's minds. You will make people feel comfortable and happy to be around you. You'll make people feel excited to meet you. And you'll put people, you will release them from being on guard, from being around you, your speech. And then with your mind, very important. After you take refuge, do not kill. Do not intentionally kill. In any way, shape, or form. Do not order it to be killed. Oh, I'm a Buddhist, you kill it for me. Why would you want that person to collect negative merit on top of yours? And it doesn't make sense. Oh, I'm a Buddhist, I took refuge, I can't kill. Can you kill him? Sounds a little strange to me. Okay, you don't kill anymore. really you don't kill. After you take refuge, you don't steal. And I'm talking about white-collar stealing, normal stealing, pilfering, whatever it is. You go to 7-Eleven, oh, I'm short of money, let me steal that cupcake. Never mind, it's for my Dharma practice. No. You don't do stealing in any way. Stop. After you take refuge, no, okay, I'm going to say it, get excited, get ready, sexual misconduct. What does sexual misconduct mean? I have a word for sexual because I'm a little uncomfortable sitting on the high throne like this, saying that word. You make me uncomfortable, y'all staring at me like this. You're making me very uncomfortable. You all should go like this. How can he say like that? You're not. You're all like this. Paris is like. So I'm not going to use that word anymore because you're making me very uncomfortable. I have my own word for that word, and it's bubbly. So no bubbly misconduct. What's that? It's very simple. You don't cheat on your wife. But can I cheat when I'm away because she doesn't know? It wouldn't hurt her. You know why I say that? I've had hundreds of people come and tell me they're confessing they're cheating on their wife, and, you know, is it bad that she doesn't know? Well, you can go and steal from 7-Eleven. They don't know. Is that bad karma? Just because they don't know doesn't mean it's bad karma doesn't come whether they know or not. It comes from your act, your intent. Well, is it okay if I just keep one mistress and not four? Well, I don't know what to do. You know, I really love my kids. I love my wife and I love my mistress. Why can't I have both? Is there a puja? Yeah, people ask me that. They sit in front of me and they ask me, is there a puja they can have their mistress and their wife and their kids won't disrespect them because they found out they have a mistress? Can I do a puja? Is there a mantra? And I said, you want me to give you a mantra to commit more negative karma? What, make you invisible man? Make your mistress invisible love? They ask me that. You think it's a joke? I've been teaching Dharma for 20 years and I've met all types of clowns bigger than me. They come up with all kinds of questions. Nobody says, hey, Rinpoche, how can I develop real compassion? Or I've developed this level of compassion, what's the next step? They always say, hey, you know, I get married or not? Wrong person. Wrong person to ask. So, what am I trying to say? No sexual misconduct. Oh. You got me to say it again because you guys are all excited. Stop it. This Ngao is so excited. Ngao was like this earlier. When I said that word, he went. Pastor Ngao, yeah, right. Okay. So, bubbly. Bubbly misconduct means what? To force someone. To do it at inappropriate times when they're in pain. When they don't want to. For ladies, when they're pregnant, when they're having menses, you don't disturb them, you respect their body functions. That's what it says. And if you have some kind of weird diseases, you don't pass it to other people. Live it up, I'm going to die anyways. No. You don't cheat on your husband. Well, never mind, my husband's 100 years old, he won't care anyways, whatever. You keep yourself a little toy boy. No. You can only achieve this through meditation. Where when your face is here, your neck is there. And when your face is there, your neck is there. Only by you want to see, wait, you guys can't do it. What? Powerful stuff, huh? Only a Rinpoche can do this. And Lou. Okay, now. Can I rape somebody? In a relationship, what's necessary is mutual respect because you accept them. In a relationship, you need to let your partner win. You let your wife and husband win. In a relationship, you need to listen to what the other person needs and wants and be sensitive and stop arguing to win. Because when you're alone and separated, you lose. And if you're going to hook up with somebody, wife and husband, whatever partner, if you're going to hook up, make it the best time you can make it with them because it doesn't last. Respect. So, bubbly misconduct is that after you take refuge. It doesn't mean you cannot have bubbly, and I didn't tell you you can go and have bubbly. Okay, I didn't say any of that. Don't cut this part of the video and play it on somewhere else. They see what he's saying. They do that to me. You know, they go on my YouTube videos, they cut out a part of what I say, and then they put it there saying, see, Rinpoche's like that. And I'm like, but can you play the whole tape? They do that to me. That's what happens when you're famous. I tweeted Madonna and she understands. I didn't tweet Guy Ritchie because he hurt her. Okay, now. No lying. Lying can be intentional. Lying can be without saying lie. Did you take that apple and you keep quiet? You keep quiet. And so when you don't answer, you're not lying. But if you're letting them know that you didn't take it, that's your intention, you lie. Okay, there are different types of lying. There's a lying when someone asks you, you know, they're 500 kgs, they haven't washed in a year, and they're dead. They ask you, is that person beautiful? You lie. Yes. I mean, that's not lying. That's saving someone's feelings. Lying is when you have an intent to say something wrong to hurt. Okay, a deer runs that way. The hunter chases. Which way did the deer go? That way. Is that lying? No. Because your intent is not to harm. Now, don't twist that around to all kinds of different things, you guys. You guys are very sneaky. All kinds of weird scenarios. You know what lying is. You know what lying isn't. Now, come. From lying, you can make your life short. From lying, you can make people mistrust you, and from lying, you create the causes to become extremely lonely in the future. Okay? The best you can. If you're a serial liar, cut it down. Get help. Therapy, medicine, medication, meditation. Get tape, put it over your mouth. You know, if you're a serial liar, you gotta work on it. Then after you take refuge, no divisive speech. Hey, did you hear her? She got her double eyelid done. But don't tell anybody I told you. And then when your friend shows up, she's like this. Nobody told me you had double eyelid. I figured it out on my own. No divisive speech. To talk this way, talk this way, talk this way, talk this way, to make people separate. Because you're jealous, because you're not happy, because you want what they have. Don't create divisive speech. Divisive speech is one of the most powerful ways to create unhappiness. Be the peacemaker. Be the peacemaker. Then, no hurtful speech. Speech, as I mentioned earlier, that is intent on damaging the other person. Why would you want to damage anyone? You've been hurt. People have hurt you. People have disappointed you. People have hit you in a place that's very sensitive. Did you enjoy it? I didn't. Did you feel good? How did you feel about that person? How did you feel yourself? If you didn't like what you felt, why would you want to do that to someone else? Hurting another person or another being because you were hurt doesn't take the hurt away and also doesn't make the hurt better. If you're hurting, go do charity work. If you're hurting, go heal people. If you're hurting, do something beneficial for others. That's how you might heal or find some peace. Hurting others because you're hurt or hurting doesn't make you feel better. It just makes you become worse and the pain becomes bigger. And it might be instant satisfaction that someone, you have the power to hurt someone. But you know what? Power can be taken away very fast. So therefore, if you have been hurt and you felt the pain, please always reflect on that in your meditations. Don't hurt other people. Don't say things that will ruin them. Don't say things that will break their heart. Don't say things that will disappoint them and make them feel no self-worth. Don't say and do things because you're jealous or you want to get past them. Don't do that. We have enough suffering in our life. We have enough problems in our life. Why make more? use your speech in a way that brings another person happiness. And always speak the truth, and whatever you say, do it. It's more important to suffer doing it and fulfilling what you said than to suffer later when people have lost respect for you. Do it. Then after you take refuge, holding wrong views, or wanting wrong views, or hiding behind wrong views in order for your own lazy convenience, because you don't want to transform, because you don't want to make a difference, because you don't want to make it better, because you don't want another person to win. So you hold on to wrong views just for the sake of argument, just for your lazy convenience, just for your comfort zone. We shouldn't do that. We should study the Dharma. If we're a Christian, study the Bible, study the Quran, study the Bhagavad Gita, whatever your religious denomination is. Study that well and put it in your mind. You don't have to run around being a religious fanatic. I'm baptized, I'm saved, I can do anything I want now. No. I took refuge with His Eminence, Temtoku Rinpoche, and He's a living Buddha. Now I can do anything I want. I don't think so. After you've taken refuge, you know what's the right way to go, if I may share? More humble. More humility. More acceptance. More learning. More tolerance for others and yourself. That's the way to go after refuge. You want to be a Buddhist? I'm teaching you what a Buddhist means. People say, oh, Buddhist is a philosophy. They don't believe in a God. Therefore, it's not a religion. It's a philosophy. You know what? Whatever works. Whatever works to make you a better person, we don't need labels. You want to believe it's a religion? Fine. You want to believe it's a philosophy? Fine. As long as you're a good person that makes everyone around you happy and you fulfill your commitments, that's all anybody's asking. So what's important here is not a philosophical debate. What's important is after refuge, more humility. Please study the Dharma more and practice the Dharma. Make peace. Forgive. Become a better person. Not immediately, with time. After refuge. Attend classes. Do pujas to remove your inner obstacles. Inner obstacles are more worse than outer obstacles. And then watch your mind grow and become better year after year after year. And see the people around you that you bring peace and happiness to. Then, you are a true Buddhist. And it doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter. And whether you have an elaborate altar at home and you do hours of mantras, the real mantra is battling the enemy within. Every single day, every single moment. Do not be lazy. Push yourself to achieve. Whatever you say, do what you have said. Don't make people chase you and remind you. And always be honorable. Why should you be honorable? Because if you're not, you make people suffer. You make people unhappy. That's not what religion's all about. Religion shouldn't make other people unhappy. If they twist it around and use it in the wrong way, they can make people unhappy saying it's religion, but it's not religion. I've made a lot of mistakes, but it's because I'm Buddhist. I made it because I made the mistakes. So therefore, after refuge, I would recommend all of you, if you don't have a personal sadhana yet, a sadhana is a transformational meditation. After refuge, I would request with all humility and enthusiasm to do the Guru Yoga of Lama Tsongkhapa every single day, because all 84,000 teachings of Buddha are contained in the Guru Yoga. What mantra should you recite? Tsongkhapa's Miktema. Recite it well. It contains the energy of skillfulness, wisdom, and great compassion. And it's the mantra recommended. The Dalai Lama praises Miktama mantra so much. Panchen Lama wrote so much on it. Recite the Miktama daily. Well, when you see animals, recite it. Blow it. When you see animals, blow it on them. Recite, let them hear. Plant the seeds of Dharma in their mind. You don't have to do 3 hours of meditation a day. You can do 10, 15 minutes, quality, to transform your mind. Check. And when you're reciting mitzvah, please don't think about the sexy lady that just walked by. Oops,
there I go again.
Don't think about that nice, handsome man walking by. Don't think about the vegetarian burger. You're going to have a Kichara oasis after this. After you take refuge, do Lama Tsongkhapa's Guru Yoga every day. And when you come to the part of mitzvah, do a contemplation on all the people who've been kind to you in your whole life until tears stream down your face and you wish to repay their kindness. And recite mitzvah according to the meditation I already taught. It's on YouTube. And do the dissolution. If you like and you have time and you really want to make your practice totally complete, okay, totally, you really want to be like a Tibetan monk, then after mitzvah, after the dissolution of Guru Yoga Tsongkhapa, you do Setrap's praise by the fifth Dalai Lama. And you do his black tea. You do, his mantra. I'm burping because I drank a lot of Coke that you didn't have. Anyways, then you do a black tea to Setrap. And if you have extra obstacles, just a phrase to Setrap, you do extra. And you don't pray to Setrap, remove my enemies, destroy them, you took refuge, remember? You know, I'll make my ex-wife lose and pay for it, make my ex-husband learn, make his mistress die. No. You don't do that. You know, if you went for an operation, went wrong, make my operation right. Just go to a new doctor, lah. Now, what you should do is, if you want to make your practice really complete, you do Setrap. And you know what? The next year, there's this protector with four arms. He's fabulous. He's wonderful. He has two horses. He's even more powerful. Buy Setrap. Hello, new Setrap. No. Once you stick to it, once you start it, you go all the way. Don't jump. You can change restaurants, except for vegetarian restaurants. You can change your clothes. You can change your hair. Right, Ethan? You look like Dato Mae, except the hair is forward. She's got the same hairstyle and color, but it's back. Yours is forward. What, you guys went to the same place, huh? I think the guy at the salon did a rush job. You know, Dato was here, Ethan was here, like, oh, wait. Okay, no, he's cute. He's a nice boy. Nice boy. Works very hard most of the time. Anyway, do the Setrap. Remember, my friends, these are practices I brought from the monastery. 1, 2, 3. They may look a little exotic and strange to you, but these are practices I brought from the monastery from 600 years of tradition, Tsongkhapa's own practices. All the high lamas and monks are practicing. If these three deities are good enough for them, they're more than good enough for you. You guys understand? You may not know it fully, learn. So you do your practice every single day. And if you're sick, then you recite mitzvah and blow it on your medicine. And visualize Tsongkhapa dissolving into your medicine. And then take it. It will be very effective. If you feel negative energy in your house, or you feel some bad influences, or you see some hantus walking around your house. And yes, the hantu is not your husband. It's a real hantu. You just do black tea. And you blow, Om Maya Chata Soha. You visualize light clearing the place. Then you'll be fine. Do your Setrap in your office, in your home, in your place, any place you don't feel comfortable. Some people are quite sensitive. I'm not trying to raise some superstition or fears here, okay? You know, most Chinese people, they have cheng beng. You know, you bring all your stuff to the cemetery to make offerings to the dead, the deceased. Whether they get it or not, I don't know, but it's a respect to your lineage. That's beautiful. It's respect. It's Chinese respecting where they came from. Nobody has the right to say whether it works or not. But sometimes the cemetery has powerful energy. Before you go, you do a little black tea to Setrap and you blow your mantra. Om Maya Chata Soha, Om Maya Chata Soha. No, that's not me, that's the fan. It's making me bigger. Now, before you go there, you can blow. You visualize red light around you and go. And then you know all those funny things at the cemetery, like, they won't do anything to you. Or if you're going on a long trip or a long journey, you know, like far away, who knows, you know, you're on the plane. So what you should do is you do your mantra. You do it first. So at least when the plane goes, maybe in the plane you go, Om Maya Chata. It could happen. It could happen. Then if you have your father, he's going, oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean to make a joke. If he's going senile, recite Miktama for him. Every time you see your beautiful father who's going a little off, I mean, some people, you know, have dementia even before they're old. Anyways, you can recite Mingmei Tewe, Tejin Chen, Zik, Dream Kendo. Blow on your beautiful father. May my father always have peace. He's powerful. You see, the spirit of Buddhism is to benefit others as much as possible, to respect others, to tolerate. This is the spirit of real Buddhism. And Buddhists should practice that. So after you've taken refuge, I want all of you to do Lama Tsongkhapa Sadhana, short one. Some of you are already doing long mantras and a lot of mantra, all this, and this. How do I fit it in? How? Oh, what's another 10 minutes? Stick it in. What else are you doing? Just sit there eating potato chips. And do your setra. And if there's somebody in your house who's not happy with your altering practice, never mind, don't force it there. So sorry, and just do your practice inside. Very powerful. And very powerful, come do setup together, because in the monastery, once a month for 2 whole days, from 5 a.m. in the morning to 11 p.m. at night, they do all-day setup pujas for 2 days, every single month in Ganden Shatse for the last 600 years. I attended those pujas. We sit there, you know, all day, 10, 12 hours doing setup puja meditations. And they blow the long horns. They play the cymbals. You just sit there like, oh my God, wow. And then you look at the monks next to you, you think he's taking trance, but actually he fell asleep. Anyways, no. I'm the only one that fell asleep. Those monks didn't fall asleep. They do that in the monastery. Okay? So that's what I would request. And please, I don't want to force my views on you. Try to be vegetarian as much as possible after refuge. As much as possible. If anything, for your health. If anything. And save the lives of animals. And if you can, join one of the 13 departments to volunteer and help on a regular basis. Don't go inside the center and go, oh my God, that person's weird, this person's weird, that person, I don't like, I'm gonna leave. Actually, when you meet weird people, when you meet bad people, when you meet funny people, you should be even more inspired to practice Dharma deeper. People think, oh, I don't like this, I'm gonna leave, I'm gonna go someplace else, but I don't like it. That's wrong. You see, you don't go to a hospital and say, everybody's sick, so I'm not coming here. Of course they're sick, it's a hospital. Same thing in a Dharma center, people are sick. So of course you're going to have all kinds of people in Dharma center. So if you come across strange people, don't use that as an excuse to cover your laziness and then run and don't do something. It should inspire you to do more. Bodhisattvas and high practitioners look at the sufferings of others and feel energized. And they come up with more ways, more ideas, more methods, more enthusiasm, more passion to find a new way to bring Dharma to people. Bodhisattvas. It's a sign of a bodhisattva. Real bodhisattvas and real practitioners and real aspirants of enlightenment, real ones. In fact, when they see people suffering, they see people creating problems and difficulties and trouble, instead of feeling down forever, they feel down for the moment, and then they go back to the drawing board and think what other ways they can bring Dharma to other people. What other methods, what ways have they not explored to bring Dharma to others? In fact, it fuels their passion. It fuels their enthusiasm, and it burns inside of them to bring Dharma to others even more. Because how can they let even one person suffer? How can they let one person be abandoned? So a real bodhisattva, a high incarnation, a high being, a being who has the qualities of life after life, of wishing to benefit others, who really activate Shanti Deva's prayer, are passionate with ideas, always never lethargic, never lazy, never sit back and just let the world ride by. They are, in fact, even more enthusiastic because they will find one way or another to reach you. Because that's what they were born for. That's what we, you and I, should aspire to. Instead of looking at the sufferings of others, and the degeneration of others, and some problems that others create, instead of feeling down, please feel up. Because if you don't do something, they will suffer more.